Awesome. The doors are locked. There's no escape. Oh, there's one more person coming in. Welcome, everyone, to the last day of the conference. I hope you guys had a good time over here. I think for me, like, my highlight was the second day of the conference. Like, that's when I had two talks, and I think the second one kind of went well with SignalR. So we had a bunch of great feedback on that. So I hope, like, we kind of achieve this goal with this talk as well. And I hope what you see in this talk is something that that you came for. So this talk is about web deployment done right. And the overarching sort of message that I wanted to sort of convey in this talk is, like, as you're sort of building more web applications and as sort of we are working down on a way of Azure, like, what does deployment mean, and, like, how do things change? Like, how do I still use Azure websites and set up a system in such a way where I have either a continuous deployment integration system going on, there's a build server, there's some tests running, and I have capabilities of sort of extending the system to do what I sort of want to do. So that's going to be the overarching theme of this talk. Do people have any suggestions on that? Like, is that something that you wanted to hear in this talk, or is this something else that you wanted? Does this seem about right in terms of an overarching message? Okay. And before I get started as well, I just also wanted to get a feel of how many people over here have published or have deployed to Azure websites. And were you guys using VS, or were you guys using, like, you know, GitHub or any of the other integrations with CodePlex and stuff? Like, so show of hands, who did VS, right-click, publish? Okay. How about people who were sort of publishing to, like, TFS Online or going to the Windows Azure PowerShell and sort of automating the process of deployments over there? Okay. Cool. So my talk is gonna mostly focus around how do you sort of deploy your web applications to Azure websites. I'm not going to cover much on the VS publish experience, because that's, like, a straight up, I can show it to you very quickly. Like, it's a 2-minute file, right click, publish. But I wanted to show you basically some of the cool advancements that we have done for people who want to, again, publish to Azure websites. And what you would see in this environment is something similar that you would see in, like, cloud services and stuff. So once you deploy or once you automate your deployment to cloud services, that you can sort of install your software on the VM, or you can prep the VM in a certain way. So those capabilities still exist in Azure websites as well. And so I'm going to sort of touch upon these topics a lot more rather than focusing on the VS right-click publish scenario. So that's going to be the theme of the talk. In case you have any questions, you know, feel free to stop me, and then we can have a dialogue around it. So it always helps to get some introductions done. How many people are here from Spain? Or no one? Okay. I won't bother you for the little Spanish that I learned then. So my name is Pranav Rastogi, and I work for the Microsoft ASP.NET team. I've been working with the team for the last 5 years, and in fact, this was my first job ever, and I love the team, I love the technology, I haven't moved on at all, which is good and bad, but I think it's good. I occasionally blog, and I'm fairly active on Twitter, like, so @rust is my handle. So in case you have any questions, or, you know, want to follow up with this session, or follow up with web development in general, like, feel free to reach out to me. Like, I'm very open. I'm not scary as well. And recently, something I've been very proud of is I co-authored a book on ASP.NET 4.5, and I think this was a big highlight for me, because I've been wanting to do it for a great number of years, but finally I got to do it. I do have a slightly foreign accent. I'm from India, so in case any of you has any trouble understanding me or hearing me, just shout out. Like, I'll try to go a bit slow as well. So hopefully that should address that. And my free time, I sort of like to consider myself a fearless adventurer. So I kind of go out, like this picture is me fishing for piranhas in Brazil. Like I almost got bit, but you know, that's an amateur move. It happened, it's still alive. So I still like to sort of go out and risk myself and see where we land up with. So 2001, how did deployment happen back then? It was black, it was unpredictable, it was unstable, it was like deployment was happening on this one guy's machine who had the, all the bits and the binaries in place, and he had all the privates installed, and he was the only guy who could basically deploy, and that's it. And oh God, if that guy got run over by a bus, then God save the company. Like, I think you're sort of going downhills. We've come a long way from that state. Like, and I think one favorite quote of mine during this dire situation is to press this panic button. It's not the end of the world. So it's not, it's getting better. So it's not as bad as what it used to be. And so the reasons it sort of was bad, in my opinion, way back then was because we didn't deploy often enough. We used to deploy like maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. And the problems that we ran into was once a deployment failed, rolling back was difficult because you had to roll back a month's worth of investment. So it was like not even possible. We didn't have very good coding structures. Like we used to just check in code and did not enforce unit tests at the right place as well. Like, let me just check in my code, let it run, and I'll figure out all my bugs and stuff. So deployment has always been a big pain point, and we have specialized people who sort of deal with deployment. But sort of as we go more and more forward where, you know, we enter this world of cloud and infrastructure is sort of taken away from us, deployment is something which sort of is getting a bit more easier as well. And that's the whole point of this talk as well. To encourage you to deploy often and deploy more regularly so that you can have a good system set up. So what assets do we have in Windows Azure that sort of make it a little more attractive platform than what we have today? And the reason this slide is over here is basically it's trying to give you a message that when you think about Azure, or that's what I've heard, when people think about Azure, they think a lot about cloud services, they think a lot about mobile services, storage, Service Bus, SQL Azure, and they think about a lot of these coming together in the role of cloud services, but that's not entirely true. You can still harness all these powers of messaging, your blob storage, and still use Azure websites. So Azure websites is a model which sort of provides you with a lean way of having a publishing model and a lean way of sort of getting started, while it also brings in the other benefits of Azure as well. And there's a talk I did Tuesday morning, which was basically on Azure websites and on-prem integration. So the whole point of the talk was about you can have the benefits of Azure websites and then you can harness the power of your on-prem assets by using like Service Bus on-prem, or you could have used Voca roles on-prem as well. So that's a quick sort of expectation set over here. And in this world, we have sort of websites which could be, you know, ASP.NET, PHP, Node, Ruby, Python. And a big part of what deployment is all about is sort of catering to a different set of people. Like, we have a traditional .NET developer who loves VS and would publish from VS day in and day out. But we also have this new set of customers that we are trying to target, who are like Node, like Ruby, who have Macs. And we have built a sort of set of command, like CLIs, command line interfaces, and XPLAT platforms. So you get to run the same Azure commands irrespective of where you are. And it feels more of a natural choice for you depending on what platform you are in. So this slide kind of covers this demarcation. The Windows Azure SDK is open source. It's on GitHub. So you can sort of go to the GitHub project and sort of monitor what the current status of the SDK project is. All bugs are tracked over there. All features are tracked over there. So if you have any suggestions, just log a bug on GitHub as well. Okay. And in the recent months, and I don't know how many of you know about this, but we have added support for Git, TFS, Mercurial. We've had web deploy. Some folks are still using FTP. I won't look up to them. And then recently, we also added Dropbox as a provider where you can deploy your applications with. So it seems a bit odd to see Dropbox over there. Like, I'll show you what it means. It's a very niche scenario of deploying through Dropbox. It's pretty cool as well, though. It's Windows Azure Services. I think we already covered that. Right, so let's talk something real on Team Foundation Services. Have people sort of played around with TFS online? Okay, about half of you, pretty cool. So what Team Foundation Service has done is pretty cool is because they're now giving you a hosted TFS as a solution. So if you're a small shop, like you don't have to host anything on-prem, like not even a SQL Server, everything goes on the cloud. And then it sort of has a nice integration between what your application looks like in VS, how do you publish it to Azure, and then how does the build happen? So the real scenario that it sort of enables is basically what I call a poor man's CI. So I'm a guy who hates setting up infrastructure for like, you know, set up a team city, then set up the bills and monitor all these bills and figure out why the build was broken. Like, I ideally would dream of a situation where everything is just set up for me, and all I have to do is like create my projects and start publishing, and then I'm done. So we've reached the state with TFS right now that we can just create a project, publish, and it just works. So let's start looking at how these things are coming together. I'm gonna start up VS, and the first thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go to my TFS online portal. So that's the landing page for TFS online. I've created an account, and I can sort of create a new team project over here. Does anybody have a favorite name that they want to use? No favorite name. Okay. And so what I'm doing over here is I'm creating a project for myself on the cloud, and once this project gets set up, like, I have an option of sort of managing my own bugs over there, managing my own Scrum board over there. So I get an entire integrated experience on the cloud. So your project is created. And just a quick mention, like TFS now supports Git as well. So you can have TFS or you can have TFS plus Git as the backend source code providers. And now if I go and browse my project, oops, a lot of dancing going on. The URL, okay. So yeah, you know, I can have my backlogs, I can view my tasks, queries. So the whole system is set up for me. So let me open a project in my statement or map master, okay. Have people heard about SignalR? Yes, you guys came for my talk then. Awesome. Okay, so imagine this is an application that sort of I made, and this is sitting locally on my box. I can quickly run this application to show you what this application does. So, wait, allow once. I know what's happening. Okay, this is, let's try again. Let's try a different browser. Allow. Okay, ideally I should have seen the map. Okay. Oops. So basically this application is showing my current location, and I'm over here in basically Spain. And I have two users connected. It's a basic SignalR application. And so we'll try to publish this application. Oops, bad error, go away. And so we'll walk through the experience of what does it look like if I have to like start publishing this app or deploying this application to my TFS hosted project online, and how do we interact with Azure and stuff. So I can right click my solution and I can say add solution to source control. I've already connected to my online TFS in my Team Explorer. So if I, this is already pulling in my information from my Team Explorer project that I created. So I can just right click and I can say add to source control. I can pick up my newly created workspace, add this project. So nothing special about this flow. I'm just sort of checking the solution in. And I can go to my Team Explorer window and sort of check in. Just checking in my files. A point worth mentioning is there are some excluded changes over here. And these excluded changes are basically all my packages. So a golden rule of thumb, like never check in your packages because they amount to like about gigs and gigs of space. The recommended practice is to have package restore enabled so that each time the project builds, the package can be downloaded from the NuGet gallery. And you can customize what feed it gets downloaded from as well. So initial commit. So check in. Checking in, chain set number 14. And then if I go back and go to my code, so my project is basically checked in. And the next step I'm going to do is basically I'm going to create a new website in Azure, and then I'm going to connect this Azure website to the TFS project that I just created. And so that will make us realize our entire experience of deploying in a continuous manner. So I'm going to create a new website. No fib. Let's give it a unique identifier. Okay, come on, IE, work with me. So let's look at the website, whether it got created or not. No, so let's create it again. Creating website. And so now what I'm going to do is basically I'm going to set up deployment for this website from the source control. So if I click this, that you will notice that now we have lots of options of source control providers that we can choose from. So like TFS, I can have a local Git, or I can have GitHub, Dropbox, Codeplex, and an external one, so you can just specify a URL. So I'm going to choose TFS. I'm going to provide the path to my TFS online project. I'm going to say authorize. So authorize basically does an OAuth 2 dance where it connects to my TFS TFS project and retrieves the list of repos that I have. So I can select my new favorite name repo, link it. And so since I'm linking this project for the first time, Azure websites will not pull the project from TFS right away unless I make another check-in to the project, which is going to force a sync to happen. So I'm going to just go back to my project, and I'm just going to add a new line, just make a dummy check-in. So I can right-click, source control, check-in. Let me change, check in. So at this point that I have made a check-in, and what's going to happen now is if I come to the builds tab, there is a build in queue. And I'm going to show you how this particular piece of information is kind of represented in different ways. So what this information is saying, basically, I just made a check-in, and a build has been queued up in the TFS online repo. And if I go back to my portal, and then I go to my build tab, it'll show me the same information that this one particular build has been queued, and I can sort of drill into it to see what the current status of the build is. It is the exact same information that I see in this VS tab as well. And after a certain point in time, this page in Azure websites will get updated once a build completes in TFS. So usually with web application projects or with like .NET projects in general, it takes a little bit of time to build the project in TFS. So the build will take about maybe 30 seconds or so to happen. Oops. In progress. This is where I try to distract you and say like, hey, this icon is there. I don't know why it's there, so that you don't have to look at the build time. Okay, my Azure websites, now this page got updated saying the build completed, and there's a deployment that's happening by as well. So the deployment basically means that the files are now sort of getting copied over from my TFS online project in Azure and into Azure websites. So this deployment happens by a way of a service which we call Kudu. So you might have heard this code name called Kudu. And Kudu is the foundation of how sites are deployed in Azure, especially through this environment of I've checked in my solutions to like TFS or Git or like all these different source code providers. And each time I make a check-in, there's a push that happens for my project into Azure websites. And the nice thing about the Kudu service is it maintains a history of all the deployments that have happened in your project, and it also adds the benefit of like running unit tests or any sort of custom scripts that you would want after a project is deployed. So this build is still happening. If I switch back to my TFS, I think this log will basically say that. Summary, it's been deployed. If I go back to my VS, build summary, it's kind of done as well. It's still deploying. So let me switch back to my, oh, yeah, active deployment. So now I can browse to my site, and hopefully, of course, I think it might not work for IE. Yeah, let me use Chrome over here. Yeah. So I can sort of browse to my site, and there I have my app running. So in a matter of few integrations, I have now a basic CI setup in my project. And so the neat thing about this particular workflow is, so let's say, in my project now, I have unit tests as well. And let's consider myself a crappy developer. And I throw these bad exceptions. This is all you could break. And I sort of build my project. And I'm sort of over-optimistic. And I'll say just check in, because and so what's going to happen now in this case is we're going to go through the same workflow, where if I go to my home tab and I check my builds, there is a build that is sort of in queue. If I go back to my TFS project, and we look at all the builds. So we'll see that there is one in queue as well. And if I go to my Azure websites, like right now there's nothing happening. But in theory, what will happen basically is once we deploy, the deployment will fail because it'll try to run the unit test, and the unit test will fail. And so that's the advantage of sort of setting up a basic CI in the works is that you have a system already set up where you can sort of run your unit tests fairly easily, and it sort of directs you in that direction. So if I
or to go to my Azure portal, check on the status. It's still in queue. Let me show you my unit test as well. It's just a basic home controller standard unit test. And okay, so the build succeeded. It's trying to deploy. And this deployment should fail. Deploy builds. Yes. So you can plug in a provider as part of the deployment process, where you can choose what your unit test runner is going to be. So I'll show you towards the end of the of this presentation about how do you do custom deployments, and that's where you can plug in your own unit test framework as well. So it's still deploying. Then eventually it should just fail. Deployment failed. And so the nice thing about this model is also, like, let's say if I kept on deploying and I had successful deployments, so I had 4 deployments over here, I can roll back fairly easily between these 2 deployments as well. So I can just, I'll show you this in the next demos, because TFS takes a lot of time to deploy. So that's the nice thing about this as well. Like, if something bad happened in your deployment, so you can easily roll back through this UI as well. So this is what the experience looks like with TFS. So what we just saw basically was, you know, how did I get started with the project in my local box? I went to the TFS online and it sort of created a project for me. Then I pushed my changes to TFS online. And then I created an Azure website, which I then hooked up to my TFS project. So after that, each time I make a check-in, there's an automatic deployment that happens. And then if I'm a good developer and I'm writing unit tests as well, then those unit tests get run on each deployment as well. And if the unit tests fail, then the deployment doesn't happen. So it's a nice, smooth model that we finally have out of the box, which gives you a nice poor man's CI. In the cloud. That's a favorite code. I don't always test my code, but when I do it in production. I hope nobody does that. Yeah. These are some mock-ups of how the deployments would look like. And so you can deploy scripts as well, and you can... the reason I have this slide also is because I just wanted to mention that as we are also moving more and more into a world where we are writing more JavaScript-based applications, I think it has also become important for us to have a framework in mind for unit testing our JavaScript files as well. So there have been quite a few open source projects that have gained momentum. So like Chutzpah is one, QUnit, Jasmine, Mocha, and PhantomJS. And in fact, just a small trivia as information as well. In the SignalR source code, which is there on GitHub, like we use Chutzpah as a JavaScript test runner, which runs all of our functional tests and our unit tests for the JavaScript client that we had. So just wanted to mention it out there. You can plug these in as well as part of the custom deployment on the unit test framework that you want to have. Right. So let's talk about GitHub, Node, and the CLI that Azure SDK has to offer, and what benefits do I get from these as well. Azure Websites is just not for, not only for .NET developers. It's an open source SDK. The CLI is built on Node. We support Git, we support Mercurial. And this is targeting an audience, which are basically, you know, maybe they love the PowerShell, like maybe they love the console so much that they want to do everything from that world itself. So CLI is sort of geared around it where you can pretty much automate every step that I showed you in the UI. So you can go create a website, you can say my website, I want to hook it up with TFS or GitHub, and you want to say like where does your website live in what region. And then each time you do a push, the deployment happens for you. So that's the experience that we kind of get by using by GitHub. So this is an example of a site that you can create. So all you can do is Azure site create, and the hyphen hyphen GitHub basically means that it's going to hook it up with a GitHub provider. So let's go back and let's see what this what this looks like. So in my, I have a GitHub repo, and I have a project over there called Bakery. So I'm going to use this project as a starting point, and I'll try to publish it into Azure. So I'm going to do the same sort of workflow that I did earlier. So in this case, I already have a source control system set up, so my application is already checked into the source control, so I don't have to do the first step that I did with the TFS. So I can create a new site. I can say Bakery Real Demo, Bakery Real 1. So I can create this site. So I could have done the same with my command line as well. So have people used this, the CLI before? Yeah, okay. So I'll just briefly mention it. The real case is like if you really want to drop down to the bare bones and you want to automate everything, or if you don't, you hate the UI and you want to drop down to command line. So you can do all these commands basically which have my Azure site. And so this is basically saying that now you can sort of create your creation of your websites as well. So I can create a website, I can create custom deployments, I can delete a website, I can start a website. So any action on the portal basically maps down to a commandlet that I can run. So that's what the command line interface brings you. So let me go back to my application, and let me hook up a deployment. And in this case, I'm going to choose GitHub. So the local Git repository option is basically if you don't want to push to GitHub, you just want to have a local Git repository, then you can use the second option, and which we'll look at after this. So let me choose GitHub. Again, we do the same. I've already authorized it once, so it does the same OAuth dance we did with the TFS. And then I can choose Bakery. And if you notice that GitHub now has an option where you can pick your branch to deploy. So this is something that's unique to GitHub, which the value that it adds is you don't always push to your production branch. Like you always push to, for example, a staging environment or something. So in a GitHub world, there's a concept of branching. You never push to your master branch. You push to your release or your dev, and then changes get merged from the master branch, and the master is the one that gets pushed out. So that's why it's a good model to sort of separate out the branches as well. In my case, since I have a very simple app, I'm going to pick master. Okay. So my GitHub repository is linked. And if you notice, like now I didn't have to make any check-ins to trigger a deployment. It just happened. Because what I just did, when I connected my application, basically Azure sort of talked to my GitHub application, and it does a force sync the first time it tries to connect to it. So the deployment happened. I can browse. Again, so this is a standard Bakery application which is built on ASP.NET web pages. So what's interesting about this application is if I go to my settings tab, and if I go to my service hooks, so this is basically saying that I now am allowing Azure to access this site so it can do all of the operations. So it can do a pull, it can do a push, it can do all the changes that I want it to. So let's bring down this application locally to our box as well, and let's see how the process of making changes and committing changes and deployment looks like for this particular application. So I'm gonna do Bakery. And then I'm gonna copy the URL of this. And I can say, I think it's git clone. Cloning into bakery.
Have folks kind of done this workflow before, where they're cloning a Git repo, making changes, and then pushing changes? Show of hands if people who've done it. Okay.
And then what I can do over here is cd bakery. So I can open up VS, and I can open up my website. So demo, real demo, bakery. Bakery, okay. So I'm just gonna make a change to basically any of these sites. Welcome to Ticket. It's coffee. And I sort of can save the changes, and I can, drop back to my command line, and as I can do a git status, which will show me sort of all the files that are modified, and I can commit this particular change as well. And then I can push. And so what I'm doing in this command is git push origin is I'm basically pushing my changes from my local repo to the repo that's there on GitHub as well. Username, rested. Okay. And if I go to my... So now, if you notice, like, the deployment was much more faster. And the reason it was much more faster was because, like, the build process is much more faster for GitHub-based projects as well. And I can browse. So hopefully I see my changes. And let's say, you know, between these two deployments, the deployment that I just did was somehow wrong, like something was wrong about it. I can sort of easily come to my previous deployment, and I can hit this redeploy option in my portal. It's going to ask me, are you sure? I'm going to say yes. And it's deploying that. And so if I go and sort of refresh this page, I'm back to my previous deployment. So it's a very nice way of, you know, if in case I messed up, something bad happened, I can quickly roll back to a previous deployment that I knew kind of worked. So Azure website sort of makes it really easy to sort of switch back and forth between deployments as well. So what I showed you over here in the command line, like, you know, don't panic or don't worry about it a bit. But what we have now on the VS side as well. So remember, like when I had an option of creating a project, I could have created a project with TFS or TFS plus Git. So TFS plus Git, basically what it gives you is the power of Git as a backend source code provider, but with a nice UI experience, which we are used to in TFS itself. So you can do right-click check-in, you can right-click view changes, and all of the UI that people are familiar with. So that's the experience that you will get once you start selecting TFS plus Git options as well. And this command line experience is really geared around people who like it that way. Yes. So with there's an option in VS where you can choose whether to deploy any check-in or not. So that's an option. In terms of how many deployments do we keep, I don't know. I don't know the number, but we do keep a fair amount of bit over there. Yeah. Okay. So This was GitHub, basically. So now my projects are on GitHub as well. Let's see another experience of Dropbox and then see what that looks like. So I'm going to create a new website. I'm going to say Dropbox. Dropbox one. Actually, let me create the website on disk first. So I have a site, and I already have my Dropbox folder. So I'm going to come into my apps. There's a special folder that I have to create called Azure for it to start syncing with the Azure websites. And I can sort of put my site over here. It's a personal site. So let me also show you what it would look like. Bakery. Azure personal site. Control F5. So this is just a personal site. You know, I can view my own blogs. My Twitter doesn't work. I should have remembered that. Photos and stuff. So that's pretty much what the site is. So let me cancel that. Oh, let me actually open that. So now I can, I have it in my Dropbox folder. So it's now synced to my Dropbox on the cloud. So when I come over here and I create a new website, I call it personal Dropbox. Create site. So I can select my deployment from source control. I can choose Dropbox. And it does the same dance. Like I have authorized a Dropbox account. I can sign in. Say allow. And so it automatically looks under the keyword called Azure folder, and it picks up all the folders inside that Azure folder as web applications, basically. So I can choose my personal site as the folder I want to sync with Azure websites. And it's linking it. Once it links it, it does a force pull. So it's going to pull the content from Dropbox. It's like already started deploying. And so Dropbox is a scenario which sort of becomes really handy if you don't have to go through the process of like checking it into a source control. You want to get something up really quickly. Maybe you want to like demo it as a prototype to some people. So that's like sort of a case where Dropbox, I mean, really shines out. So if I browse to my site, you know, I see the same content over here. So let's make a change to the site so that you guys can have an experience of what the workflow looks like of making changes and then pushing out to Azure websites as well. So I'm going to open the same website again. Personal site. And I'm going to copy my keys for accessing my pictures from Flickr. So I'm going to replace this by these two lines. And then I close VS. No. Since it's Dropbox, I don't have to check in because it already syncs. I just have to go back to the Azure portal and just force a sync to happen. And so once I force it, it detected these changes were there on the files that I changed. It does a pull from Dropbox. And if I go back to my site, and sort of refresh. Hopefully then I sort of start seeing my list of pictures from Flickr. So it's a nice clean experience of publishing or deploying your apps to Azure websites. So this is something that sort of got added very recently, and it does stand out, and it's like really awesome. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Yeah,
Is it possible to have multiple websites linked to the same repo? No. I don't think so. You would have to have multiple repos. That's the difference that you have. But normally with providers like Git, you'll probably have branches, and so that's the way you would go forward. Unfortunately, with TFS, like, you don't have a way of doing that. Like, you have to branch yourself, but then those branches don't get reflected in Azure websites, for example, like, because it only knows about a source location in TFS. It doesn't understand the concept of branching. Unless you're on Git, as of today, you'll have to have like sort of multiple repos connected in TFS for that. Yeah. Any more questions? So far, is the content making sense? Like, is there something that you want to change for the next whatever time that's left? Yes. This is strongly focused on Azure websites, yes.
Websites.
Yes.
And if there is space for that, what would you recommend if you would like to implement something like this globally?
So, I think the two models that exist basically for publishing Flash deployment to Azure or Azure websites are basically, I have an app and I just want to keep continuously publishing. Like, basically, I make one change to the file and I publish. So that's an experience that you would want to go through VS, where you say right-click publish, like either in a web project or in a cloud services project and stuff. Where you want to sort of start automating your deployments through the command CLIs is if you have heavy setup that needs to happen as part of your deployments. Like, so maybe you have like custom VMs and you're installing like custom softwares. That is something that you will not get through the VS publishing experience. Like, that is something that you will only get through the CLIs. And those kinds of customizations, you know, are only possible in cloud services as well. With the Azure websites, it's a shared VM model as of today. So you don't own the VM. So you'll have to drop down to have your own VM where you set up like web deploy and then sort of start automating the process from then point onwards. But then sort of defeats the purpose of having Azure websites to begin with. So that's kind of if else diagram of how and when should you use for deployments basically. Okay, so let's go back to our deck. So in a lot of cases, also, it's now possible where you can have your own CIs as part of your deployments to Azure as well. And again, that comes down to like how much control do you have of your VM. So you can integrate like TeamCity or Jenkins, which is a fairly popular build server as well. So let's talk a little bit about some of the bad practices that can happen as part of the deployments as well. Just start doing it. Like, don't wait for like a month and you started your project, or do it today and keep doing it more often. So the more often that you do it, the better the system sort of will get eventually. Run tests on every build. Like, don't be a slacker. It always pays off in the end. Don't use master. So, you know, that's kind of, people have different ways of sort of working around this sort of limitation in TFS that we can only have one branch and only one branch can get synced, versus like other source control providers like Git support branching. So use it for its best use if you can. Do use package restore, like irrespective of what applications you are building. Projects as of today are having a lot of dependencies on NuGet packages. So if you start checking in your packages, then sort of you're increasing your size of the payload that you're checking in. So your deployment time will increase because it's going to go and sort of copy these packages down. And so best practice is to So just check in, use package restore, and do not check the packages in. And something odd that I noticed was don't check in user ID and passwords. And it was a funny experiment that we did a month back when GitHub added a feature to the site where you can search for code in all the code base. So we did that search of UID equals SA, and there are about like 2,000 results which have basically UID equals SA and PWD equals SA. And so as much as we sort of harp on it, like we still have code getting deployed with these passwords and user IDs. So I would like strongly encourage to not to do that. And as part of the deployment, like the benefit that Azure website sort of provides also is like we have an option. If I go back to the portal, if I configure my site, you know, I can add my app setting keys. So I can have my app setting keys in my config as well. And on deployment time, these will get basically replaced. So I can push all of my settings as much as possible into like app setting keys. Okay, so this is the last section of the talk, and it's gonna be geared around crazy things with deploy scripts. Yes. It does not do migrations. And by migrations, I'm assuming we are talking about Entity Framework code first migrations, right? Or migrations of. Right. Right. It doesn't. So you can hook up a custom deployment script, but it doesn't. Since it's not based, so this deployment mechanism is not based on web deploy. Like it's based on Kudu. So this does not do transforms as yet. Okay. So why do we need these custom deployment scripts? So the reason we sort of need these custom deployment scripts is if you want to push your sites, and then before the deployment happens or after the deployment happens, like these scripts basically give you a hook to do something with what happened. So that something could mean anything. Like it can mean that run my unit test or run my unit test with a special runner or do my migrations or basically do my transformations, or I have so many JavaScript files in my application. Can you please just minify all the JavaScript files or my CSS files? And the benefit of sort of having this model of custom deploy scripts is because in a world where we have different users of this deployment process, so there's a guy who's sitting in my VS and deploying it, there's a guy who's sitting on his Mac and sort of deploying it. It gives a uniform interface on how deployment is happening and how you can sort of plug in into this deployment world as well. So it's cross-platform. And the obvious benefit is you don't have to sit and like watch what happened to the deployment. You can sort of put in some like loggers, you can put in some like notifiers, which are either gonna send some messages to you whether the deployment happened successfully or whether the deployment like completely failed. So let's go back and let's start seeing some demos for deployments. So I'm going to create a new site over here. MKIR deploy scripts. And I'm going to copy my move shape demo into my deploy scripts. Okay. And so before we see deployment, actually, I'm going to show you the last way of connecting your application up to Azure as well. And this method, I'm going to use the local Git option. So if I create a new project, local Git. And so the benefit of this model is basically like you don't have to push your site to a public GitHub project or a, you can just have it on your box and be synced up to Azure as well. Again, the whole scenario around it is like create an app and get it up and running in Azure fairly quickly. So I can come to this site and I can say set up deployment from source control. I choose local Git. And so this page is created, and so it's given me a URL of my Git repo, pretty much. So this is the same URL you know I had copied from my GitHub project for bakery and sort of put it into my application. So then it gave me some instructions on I can download Git and I can sort of initialize my repo. So I'm gonna drop down to my project. And I'm going to initialize this repo over here. So I'm going to say git init. And I say git add. So git add basically adds all the files to the repo. And I can do a git commit. Initial commit. And says to git status. Okay. So at this point, I've sort of created a project. I've checked it in into my local repo, and that's it. I've not pushed it out to Azure yet. So let's do that. So the instructions that it had basically is I need to add a mapping to this GitHub repo into my local environment. So this is what this command does, where it adds a remote entry into my Git. So I can do a git remote slash my v, and it shows me all the Git repos that I've connected to. And then I can basically just do a git push Azure master. And so this will push my application to Azure. Then it'll get automatically deployed. Once this application gets deployed, then it'll be ready for running as well. So again, this it's a web application project, but the deployment was a little bit faster is because the underlying mechanism was that was being used was Git. So I can browse. You know, and I have my amazing, amazing demo. Move this over here, and this thing moves. Okay, so that's basically a site up and running over there. So let's see what the workflow is of making changes to this application. And actually, let's so I can do a I can open this project up in VS again. Project. And I can just put some text over there. Hello world. And I can sort of drop down to, I can do a git status. And I can say git commit minus am. Add hello, and I can push it to Azure again. So as soon as I push it, again, another deployment is gonna get kicked off. And once the deployment succeeds, I can basically browse to it. Oh, what happened? Wait. Move shape. Did I not save the changes? No, I did save the changes. Interesting. Let me make sure I'm browsing to the right one. Oh. Ah, that's because the shape is, So it's a very simple, similar model to what we had for GitHub, but in this case, my repo is local to my application. I have not pushed it out. So let's start looking at custom script deployments and then see what happens in this situation. So we have some Azure commandlets, which I can run to add custom deployments into my application. But before I do that, like, let me just show you one quick thing. So all this log, any logs that you're seeing over here, these are basically coming when Kudu deployment runs. And this is the system that we're going to plug into. And we'll see what happens on that. So I'm going to drop down. And I'm going to say Azure Site Deployment Script. OK, so it generates me a help on what are the options that I can use basically to generate a script deployment. I am going to say ASP web app --, ASP web. And this will point to my csproj file. And then I'm going to say --solution, which is going to point to my move shape solution. I'm going to say batch. Or you can run like, it's basically going to run the CMD. Or I can run bash as well if I wanted to. I think that's, that is it, yeah. So if I do a start. So two new files got added, like a dot deployment and a deploy.cmd. If I look at the dot deployment file, let me do a notepad. All it does is basically just runs deploy.cmd. And if I do a deploy.cmd, so this is where, this is the entire Kudu deployment right here, basically. So what we've done, we've just given you the entire deployment over here, so you can look at how it's done and you can sort of customize it over here. So there are some prereqs over here. There sets up the environment. It basically sets up all these locations. And then it starts the deployment over here, like handling ASP.NET Web Application. And underneath the covers, basically, when the build happens, it's all it does is basically NMS build and points it to the csproj files and passes in all the targets. And after the build happens, there's a Kudu sync gets called, which basically syncs your application from your source code provider into Azure. So I'm going to put some dummy hello world logging so that you can see what happens when you run it. And I'm going to add all the new files that got checked in. So git status. I'm going to say git commit -am. Add deploy scripts. And I will say git push Azure master. So once I push this up to Azure, so you see that I have this text over here as well, hello world logging. So that's the text that's coming from my deployment, the deployment script that I just added. So I mean, this is a pretty mundane scenario where I add some logging and stuff. But what we really want to use this extensibility hook is Let's say you wanted to add some notifications whether the build happened successfully or not. And you can even go as far as, you know, sending yourself an email or sending yourself a call or sending yourself a text message when a build happens. So what I'm going to show you over here is how you can sort of use this mechanism of the custom deployment to do something more meaningful with what happens after deployment. So go back to my command line. I'll say deploy.cmd. And whenever the sync happens, so after this, I can add this code. So what this code is doing is basically I'm using Twilio. Have people heard about Twilio? So Twilio is a service which you can use to send text messages, or you can make calls, and it'll do it on your behalf. So it's a service that you can use. So I'm basically hooking onto Twilio, and each time a successful deployment happens, we'll get some. Hopefully, we'll get some notifications on my cell phone as well. So let me add. Let me commit this change. So git status. Git commit. Add SMS notification. And let's do git push Azure master. So there's a new deployment. Puck, puck, puck. Maybe. So that's the power of doing something more meaningful when deployments happen. So if I now check my logs as well, you'll sort of see that this is the request that I made, and this is the Twilio response that I got, so finished successfully. So this is something else that you can do also to sort of customize your deployments in a unique way as well. That sort of brings us towards the end of our talk. If you have any questions, there are some resources that you can go to. Like all these command lines are at GitHub. The whole project is open source. You can go to TFS to sort of start creating new accounts. It's free right now. These are some deploy scripts that are used in Kudu. there are some related sessions that are getting repeated, actually. I think the Web API one and the Web API one is going to get repeated at 12, and EF is happening right now. There's some resources that you guys should definitely go check it out. And please do complete an evaluation to win these prizes. Okay, I'm open for questions. If you want to, I'm going to be hanging around over here. If you want to have, you come by for a chat. Yes. The database migrations. So if you're using code first, then you would have set up some migrations that usually should run on AppStart. So if that is the case, then yes, as part of application startup, those migrations will run. Then you would have to drop down to deploy scripts and sort of plug that in over there. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, thank you so much, guys. Have the great remainder of the TechEd as well, and have a safe journey home as well. Thank you.